Greetings, adventurers. I am your dungeon master, Michael DeMorrow, and my pronouns are he, him.
Hi, my name's Nika, and my pronouns are she, her. I play Rourke.
Hey, everybody, it's great to be here. Thank you so much for having me. My name is Tim Lanning. My pronouns are he, him. And I play Chuck.
Hey, everyone, I'm Jennifer Sheik. My pronouns are she, her, and I am playing Celine Von Esper.
Hi, my name is Mike Bachman. My pronouns are he, him, and I play Screech Echo.
Previously on Greetings Adventurers.
What if it turns out that all he needs is sun? He just needs to not live in cave.
Where's my mommy?
She's dead.
What's amore?
Your mother's a villain.
Anil.
I just wonder if we can like let this kid die and then bring him back and then he's cured. And it's like,
you're
that's
pretty sure that it wouldn't make the disease go away.
Oh, shit, that kid looks like he's gonna die.
I put moss in my bag. I'm gonna put more in this kid's mouth. He just doesn't know what he needs.
Jesus.
Oh, it's me, Seraphina. Nacha, yes, it's me. Hello.
We need your help. There's a young child, and he's so sick.
Oh, no. Have you given him any vitamins?
I put moss in his mouth, and we gave him something. What was it? Oh, we gave him a little extra pressure on this one point in his body to make him sleep more. An induced coma, so to speak.
You look up and you see a spider, a huge spider clinging to the ceiling of this encampment. and it has a saddle on its back.
What the hell?
I come in with the potion. I hear him coughing and I throw it down his throat.
And he's like, you know, struggling with you, and he's like flailing his arms. And then he just goes limp. And then all the candles and the fire in the fireplace and the torches all get really bright suddenly.
What?
Oh, shit. Oh, the kid's in hell.
Okay.
And Thaldin, he sits up in his bed and he grabs Celine's wrist. And he looks at you, and there's like, you. It seems like he's staring through you. And he goes, I have a grave warning. Your family is in peril.
What?
And then he passes out, and he seems to still be alive.
Okay, y'all. So I used to read books. This sounds like either some wizard shit or some ghost shit to me.
It's got to be ghosts.
I mean, the stuff I've heard is like war, like big war, you know? Like,
you
but
know,
like from the like resistance or?
Probably another major house.
It's just a city in the world. I mean, anyone can go anywhere.
Okay.
No, we're not level gated.
I'm realizing that I think I'm going to have to switch it up a little bit. Give myself a bit of a new look.
Mm-hmm. I think seeing the sun a little bit would be pretty sick.
Mm. Coward. Okay.
It could be really fun to go to a big city. I've never been there before.
I'm sorry.
Albearpalooza. And I already have VIP passes because a whole bunch of Well, okay.
We don't even have a mail system here in this realm. How did you do that? I was just going to say, I just need to know you guys want me to go get this info, you know, wait around, or you want me to, or you just going to go?
Yeah, right, man, I think.
Yeah, it seems like we need the information before we decide if we want to go to Farhold, right? What's the worst that could happen?
We could die.
We would die.
But that's fine. There's literally no consequence for dying.
If we all die, there's a lot of consequence for... There's a lot... Why... You have died so much over the past 3 months. It's so crazy.
Yeah, and I came back. There's no consequence for dying.
If I can't be rich, I might as well be dead.
I love lying.
Oh, I'm so glad you got the potion.
Oh, he sounds awful.
Okay, I think I know what to do.
All right, I'll leave it to you then. He stops breathing.
I slap him.
And he grabs your arm and he goes, "They're coming."
What?
And then everything goes black.
I've been working on shading and contouring, and it's nice that someone actually notices.
Excellent use of chiaroscuro. Art of Light and Dark.
All right, Michael, wow. We know you got to justify your...
Someone went to art school. So it is a skeleton hand, so the note is kind of just like tucked between the bone.
Has Rourke done this in the past to you?
I guess that's maybe where I'm going with it.
With a whole person, like you've seen Stephanie before.
Oh, yeah. WH, yeah.
What's your profession? I'm a whole person.
The oldest one.
Rourke, you think that these drawings look very spidery.
Okay.
But it also looks kind of like people. You both see two giant spiders just walking down Main Street, and people are running.
Can I cast Silent Image on them to make it look like a cage over them?
They've been given pause, yes. And you're wondering what's going to happen next when everything goes black.
Does there seem to be a way out of the darkness?
You can't see one. When you get to the top of the stairs, your head emerges from the darkness. You see two drow dark elves with short bows.
That hits!
Yay!
That's a great roll.
You guys...
that would be 15 radiant damage.
Oh, shit.
27 damage?
It's not dead.
All right, let's keep cutting. another 9 damage.
He's dead now.
Sick.
You feel very sleepy, and you almost fall asleep, but then you fucking don't.
Yes!
Oh... These guys totally have hand crossbows. I'm such a fucking idiot.
Such a fucking idiot.
Okay, so we do.
Go
so
back,
I do.
David, go back and edit in me saying hand crossbow every time I say short bow. He falls directly on his head, and you will never forget the sound of his neck snapping for the rest of your life.
Oh my god.
Love to be changed.
Do you guys want to go up to level 8?
Never fucking wanted anything more.
Yay!
Well, aren't we still in battle?
No, it's over. Well, there's the spiders outside. So you go outside.
Yep.
And there's magical illusionary cages around these spidery guys, and they are kind of just hunkered down like a spider do.
Mm.
I'll try to jump on its back.
Yeah.
I just healed in the middle of battle. I am a god.
Okay, the spider bites you. Do we want to go ahead and roll initiative? Or?
What are you talking about? It doesn't submit to my will and become my friend?
I can't believe this.
That's so fucking crazy.
I didn't think I was sending mixed signals, but please tell me. And let's say it just looks for the biggest, juiciest boy it can see.
Sorry, Screech.
That's Chuck.
Is today my day? Gonna wrap you up and hang you from a barn rafter.
Okay, guys. I'm uncomfortable. Guys, I'm uncomfortable.
I'm gonna attack the other one.
Okay.
That's not sucking Chuck off.
Okay.
I'm gonna bust.
All right. So a drow... what appears to be probably priestess steps out from behind.
God damn it!
She's beautiful. I kneel at her feet.
A building. This one is not ugly.
Is this lady real? She's like an angel.
So I assume its mandibles were still like right into Chuck's ass, just like just sucking,
just slurping.
And I cut like with like extreme precision right through both mandibles. But, like, close enough that it shaves a small part of Chuck's ass.
Wait, you think my ass is out?
Yeah, is it not always?
Oh, wait, no, the priestess is unconscious.
Fuck!
Celine, there's only the warrior left.
I want to get his ass.
I've made only bad rolls tonight.
Ooh, that hurts. That's 36 fire damage.
As the scene is fading out, I'm tying up the priestess of Lolth.
Yeah, good call, good call.
She goes, just try to make me talk.
I cast Tiny Hut.
Oh, you can do a lot of waterboarding in 8 hours.
Hey, yeah. Sorry about my daughter. I didn't catch your name when we were beating all your dudes' ass that try to murder us.
I'll tell you nothing. She spits at you.
Luckily, I am covered in... spider guts, and that was helpful.
Can I cut her finger off?
Yeah!
No!
Why?
Who taught you?
You went to war. I've read your journals.
It doesn't even matter what my name is. It's Navra Ushrin.
Screech has got the mask on, and he's on all fours, and I've handed Chuck a leash.
Okay, so we got Yard Dog. This guy's not Yard Dog. This is Screech. Okay. Why did you come here and attack us?
I had to.
You had to. Who compelled you?
My boss.
Sorry. A car drove by.
I am in the employ of Hortensia Calamore. We were hired to drive Ratma's people off.
Oh, no. I wasn't with her. There's this other guy named Doug.
Okay.
Yeah, Doug the Dark Elf. War has come to far hold.
Oh, damn.
Yes.
That fucking sucks.
And it's the, you know House Bartel from Anchor Downs?
Yeah.
They're said to be working with some sort of wizard.
Uh-oh.
Oh, I haven't had my medicine in so long.
My ass got bit and slashed.
I saw your ass got slurped a bit.
Yeah.
I would say both Seraphina and Grimshaw are both willing to take Thaldin.
It's me, Grimshaw.
Hey, Grimshaw.
You guys need any sweet rides for this trip you're taking?
But, okay, if my spider doesn't have legs, it has wings.
Hmm. What if it had wheels?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Oh, fuck yeah.
That's pretty cool.
You've given me car spider.
Jermichael doesn't need a mount.
Yeah, he's his own mount.
I mean, no offense.
I mean, we might need to put him in like a wheelbarrow or something.
I think we should just paint him to look like a cow.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
The circus has gone bonkers. The acrobats are up on a high wire and won't come down. The petting zoo is stampeding around.
Yeah, I can see that.
The jugglers and the clowns are fighting, and he points at the big top, which was comically shaking back and forth.
Style.
That's not all, though. There's more problems. The puppeteers are putting on this artsy-fartsy stuff that no one likes.
That seems pretty low priority, but okay.
And the carnival workers are sick of working for tips, and they're on strike. You do see what looks like a small child riding a pig.
And it is galloping about and like bashing into things, and you see it knock over an oil lamp, and even more fire starts.
We could be like a mediator, like a union mediator, to help them bring their needs to you.
Yeah, but we don't even get paid.
Yeah, that sucks. What do you guys want to get paid?
Yeah.
We want a copper piece a day.
What the fuck? Jesus
Christ. He will give you a copper piece a day? Are you kidding me?
You need to give them 2 copper a day. Each.
Each?
Someone give me a dollar so I can give it to this man.
We ran out of those like weeks ago, man. I told you, you gotta.
So it's problem solved, I guess.
Hell yeah, brother. Get out there and get some pigs.
But there's still so many issues.
That's true.
And that's where we come in. We've already solved your number one issue. And doesn't that just prove how valuable we are?
And you said you wanted to travel with us to Farhold? He kind of turns a little bit, and you see that he's a lollipop stuck in his fur.
I got that, buddy. There. And I want to try to rip it nicely, Michael Tomorrow, off of him.
One clown car drives up, and then just... they just keep coming out of it.
That's scary.
Just a horde.
Hey, you fucking assholes, don't fight.
No, we're gonna fight to the death. You have to choose a side.
I am known far and wide as Honk the Hilarious.
That is pretty good.
I wish my name was Honk.
The big top starts tearing open, and you see this huge, probably 25-foot construct comes stomping out of the huge big top, this huge mechanism juggling giant axes.
Okay.
What? That's not safe.
And it does. It picks up a clown, and it rips it in half.
Well.
And then throws its legs at basically in our general direction. And then starts juggling again.
Is that one of your acts? Like, you get sawed in half? I saw that once. It's pretty scary.
Oh, no. He has released his greatest invention, Rick.
Okay, I want to action surge. And I want to jump out of this and stab it.
Okay.
23.
Yeah, you describe yourself murdering this guy.
And I jump, I take a leap, and plunge down with my claws, like Wolverine style, right into the chest. And does it have like a face?
It had a robot face, but when your claws plunge into its chest, the helmet pops open, and you can see what appears to be a gnome inside of it.
Oh, no!
Oh, no!
And so you can watch the light escape its eyes as it dies.
I guess I pick him up, and I carry him.
He's a tiny body.
Yeah, into the tent, and you're like, hey!
Chuck, 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 Chuck.
Oh!
Why are you saying my name?
Wait!
Chuck.
Wait.
Chuck.
Wait.
Chuck.
No!
Chuck. Chuck.
Is he your new leader? No, I stabbed him!
You are carrying our leader and spoke in the voice of a god. We shall follow you, Chuck, now. You are the master juggler.
Oh, god damn it.
Hi, I am Talia Twirl. I'm the most senior member of the juggling crew.
Uh-huh.
Yeah?
You are our leader now.
Who are you talking to? Be very specific.
I'm talking to you, large man named Chuck.
God damn it.
I'm Slapstick Stan.
Hey, Slapstick Stan. I'm Chuck. I'm the...
Hey, put her there.
Okay.
Don't do it.
Hand out.
Oh, yeah.
Going in.
They need to do shows like they used to do. Back in the old days.
Okay.
Is the puppet wearing a black turtleneck and glasses?
In the carnival's embrace, I find my grace.
Hell yeah.
A marionette puppet. In this enchanted place.
You know, Celine, is there any, like, magic you can cast on these little puppets? Make them just do something funny, like drive a little car, or, like, play a honky horn?
I mean, that's not, like...
Get a boner?
Yeah. Can you make that puppet get a boner?
I mean, I have a mage hand. I guess could...
I've done it before. Don't ask.
When you have a soul that is...
wounded as mine is.
I can see that.
The only way.
Hey, shut the fuck up for a second.
The people want slop. The children crave slop. And they don't want your art.
I am convinced. So I'll put on the schlock.
Well, use that paint.
Well, exactly. It fuels your work. It's the way of the world. Be happy. Does it make you money?
This episode has gotten dark.
You just have to keep doing and doing and doing until you realize there's nothing else you know how to do. It doesn't matter how old you are and how weird it is.
Yeah, so you've solved it.
And then I made it to their meeting place, the Stone Giant Clan. There was a woman, and she was playing an instrument, and there was the jokester, and he was singing bawdy tunes, and the stone giants were dancing about.
Y'all take a long-ass rest.
Giant taloned bird of prey.
Clearly it doesn't have any wings if it's walking.
True.
No, it suddenly appears and then walks a few steps and then is gone. So it just landed here for a second and then took off.
Oi, I think this goes down into this valley over here.
And you hear the majestic music swells as you see three long-necked creatures.
Everyone hide.
They're like so tall that their like heads reach like the top of the trees and they're like biting leaves off the top of the trees.
Are there any giants? Does he see any giants? Or is it...
There might be giants.
Whenever there's a flicker and like the shadows kind of move, I move with the shadows just as quickly.
He's like,
I grab the jokester by the neck and like slam into the wall. What did you do to her?
You're not gonna kill me, are you? Oh no!
What'd you do to my daughter?
I have done nothing. We're saving these poor stone giants.
Why is she talking all weird?
Bro, she was like that when she got here.
Two large hill giants come over.
They put each other's cocks down.
They put each other's cocks down.
Hello. Could you please keep playing the music?
I have to keep playing the music because it keeps the dinosaurs away. Otherwise, they will tear us flesh from bone.
How did you deal with the dinos before that?
That's a great question. Before we had the Crystal of Harmony, a big bird came and took it.
Oh my god.
Flew away with it up to its nest in the mountain.
Uh-huh. Why didn't you get it?
It's so high up. You are welcome to spend the night here in the safety of our music.
Well, I think that's the answer,
you
right?
You mean my daughter's music.
There's really great safe caves here. That's why we love it here.
All right, well, you all snuggle up, except for Rourke, snuggle up to go to sleep. But you do have to stay up all night playing music so the monsters don't come and eat everybody.
Oh, right. Yes, okay.
This is a 60-foot length of silken rope. It weighs about 3 pounds.
Ooh.
But gang, it can carry like 3,000.
So theoretically then, if it can hold 3,000 pounds...
It can hold you.
You must travel deep into Doomjaw's territory.
Doomjaw's territory?
Yes.
Wow.
Is that the bird?
No.
Fuck.
What is that?
It's like a really big monster lizard, kind of like a dinosaur. Yeah, no, it's exactly a dinosaur.
Okay.
I was gonna say a dinosaur that doesn't breathe fire, but that is a dinosaur, so it's just like a dinosaur. It's not a dragon.
Okay.
I can sweeten the deal even more. We have this hole.
Let's go.
A hole?
We all do, bud.
We're willing to give you it, the hole.
I'm in.
You can take it with you.
How can you take a hole with you?
It's portable.
A portable hole?
Yeah, everybody's is. Again.
Okay, so you start heading into the jungle. But you do feel like you're being followed.
Sexy followed, or?
I don't know what that means.
The only reason I even say anything is because, like, this is dinosaur world, and I don't think there are apes in dinosaur times.
Three giant apes come bursting out of the jungle. Roll initiative, gang.
Oh, let me just kill the calculator.
For what, Michael?
That's 38 bludgeoning damage.
To what?
Your face. Good news, I rolled another 27.
You dumb bitch.
Oh my god.
That doesn't hit. That hit last time. It doesn't hit this time.
Well, now he has advantage whenever he attacks it.
Probably won't do it. I'll probably just run.
I accidentally took one of their turns out of turn.
Wow.
All right, Celine.
Time to set this fucking jungle on fire. 31 fire damage to each ape.
Yowza. So this, look, guys, they've never seen a fireball before. They're going to leave.
I am out of here.
He doesn't need healing. He's alive. Who cares?
Yeah, I mean, I want it, but I don't need it.
Roll 2d8.
4 between the two of them.
Are you sure it's a d8 and not a d4?
The apes have clothes.
Yeah, you realize it actually has like a little collar, just like a little, no other clothes attached, but just like a little collar. There's a stillness has fallen over the jungle. And Chuck, you see a massive footprint.
That's Bigfoot.
And it's reptilian, maybe?
All right, we're appearing to be in Bigfoot's area. He's going to try to bite us, so let's...
And you feel like you're being hunted. You see these big nostrils behind you. You don't see them. The audience does. And they're like, and they like, you know, flare these big nostrils. And then you see these huge teeth, and you're just like whistling, taking a piss.
Yeah.
And these huge teeth are like, rah!
Oh my fucking God, Doomjaw! Lay his ass up!
You see this huge lizard. It's got a long tail. It's got a big head with lots of teeth. It's got little stupid arms up front. It's a fucking T-Rex.
Okay, that's 29 psychic damage. And he is incapacitated until the start of my next turn.
Say what?
I think Pluto should be a planet. I'm with you on that.
See? There we go.
Leave Pluto alone.
These old heads.
That is my turn.
Screech. What's the topography of the back of this T-Rex?
The topography? I like it, 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 like it. Oh, Super Ben Foster in goal. Okay, you're chipping off spines.
Yeah.
All right, you pop off 2 spines.
Yeah.
You do 25 damage? That's so much.
Yeah.
What does it look like when you kill this T-Rex?
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
You're at the foot of this sheer cliff.
I'm not climbing this.
I mean, we have this rope.
My dad's a fireman.
Well, it's a 60-foot rope.
Michael, I'm gonna die.
Is this like Everest?
What exactly does the magic rope do?
Hold on. Do you want me to read what the rope does?
Yeah.
The way that that's written is just vague enough. It sounds like Mary Poppins shit.
Yeah, tie it to someone else and then we can just have it lift each person up.
I want to go full Lorax and lift myself by the seat of my own pants.
When it says it can do 3,000 pounds, that's without breaking. It doesn't mean you can lift that much.
What can it lift if that's its pulling weight?
Yeah, that's the thing, is they don't say how much it can lift, which leads me to believe it must be infinite.
We can backwards engineer this, though.
Harness up, rope.
Hey, watch your... Hey, watch it. Well, okay.
Watch your hands, rope.
And then you have to hold on to the end of the rope. The end of the rope that's tied to you, and then command the other end to go up.
I've heard of pushing rope, but this is ridiculous.
I didn't think about like using you like a balloon.
Because it's your rope, you close your eyes, and you're like...
No, you would read those rules as that's the way it works.
We talked about this rope so fucking much, it would be a real bummer if it didn't do something cool.
Which is statistically a +5, I could... give the three of us.
Well, I'm gonna pass out.
I'm gonna be
and
right.
And then we
just
stand 30 feet away from
the
other side. Not all together.
Some of us have to have
some pipe. Okay, Michael, you gave me inspiration.
I don't have
that. I would like to use it because I flew in.
It is a lot easier to climb a knotted rope.
We're not climbing it.
Sort of fun.
It just takes one of us.
We're all pretty sure we're going
to
climb
it. I think we should probably
stick to
it. We're just trying to do it.
It's more fun.
Yeah.
Can we do it?
That's what
we
should have done.
We should have
done.
Screech could just climb up after Rourke.
Maybe we should be pulling that one.
The episode ends as your like elbows get to the top of the cliff and you like pull yourselves up, but in front of you is a huge nest, and you see a glimmer inside of it, which must be some sort of crystal, but there's a massive silhouetted shape.
What is it?
It's like a big bird. You see the crystal as well.
So are you saying that you want to try to do to sneak up on it and jump on its back?
Yeah. Yeah, I want to climb up that neck.
Cool.
So at this point, I would shoot the grappling hook with the rope. And then, you know, in such a way that it goes up over the neck, and then I would command the rope to tie itself around the neck of the bird.
You know, it's weird that I don't see these things coming at this point, but here we go.
Next decade, Michael. Next decade. You'll...
The beast roars in fury and launches itself off of the side of the cliff, and you are both hurtling through the air now.
Oh, fuck.
I did not think for a second that this bird could fly. I'm a Rogue 4, Ranger 2, Fighter 2.
The fact that you multi-class hurts my soul. Like, I fantasize about multi-classing, but then whenever I go to do it, I cannot physically press the buttons to make myself do it.
Just do it. It's so easy.
13 is not going to hit.
I'm crying.
I think she zaps it, and it actually falls, and I think it's gonna whack against the ground.
Hell yeah!
Taking some damage.
Hell yeah!
It takes 2 fall damage.
Hell yeah!
And it is on the ground.
Hell yeah! I'm gonna text Jennifer that Michael's trying to kill Celine,
and it is going to launch itself back into the air. Yeah, and so it just starts hurtling straight down. It impacts the top of this mountain with incredible force. You see Screech fling himself, zipping out of the darkness, and you just see all this blood leaking out from the darkness.
Wow, that was a great recap.
David, what a recap. Oh my God.
I know.
And you put all of that together. My Lord. I mean, I guess I had something to do with it.
Yeah.
Hi, this is Michael and David. We got David here. David.
Hi.
David has surfaced. We've dragged him out from his editing cubby. And we're talking a little bit.
Yeah. Well, the interesting thing is I'm actually recording this inside my editing cubby, so I really haven't been dragged out. But no, that's exciting. I'm curious to
David,
see what happens. Yeah.
we've noticed that you've been trying to lock occasionally on the cubby, and please, you've got to knock that off, okay?
Okay, okay. Well,
this is where you belong.
I know. Well, everyone out there, please, they find ways. They can crack the locks. I can't get out.
David, they're on my side.
Okay.
Because without you, they have to listen to us unedited, and no one wants that.
Oh, but you know what? I wanted to dive into a couple of extra things. This is for the folks who stuck with it through the recaps and are have got to the end of it.
Oh, special treat.
Michael.
Yeah.
Michael, you find yourself in a dark corridor far beneath the surface of the Drunkoros world.
How did I get here?
There's torchlights all throughout this hallway all around you. And down in front of you, there are two doors, one going to the east and one going to the west. You want to get out of here. My question is, which direction will you choose to go?
It's all of this exposed flame. I mean, this has got to be a fire hazard, and it's so smoky down here.
Yes, there's absolutely smoke pouring in all around. It's rough.
Oh, my God. It's who is east or west? I mean, I guess east coast, east coast. So let's go east.
Yeah, yeah. East is good. I happen to be on the east coast as well. So, all right. So you open up the door to the east. And inside there's some bubbling sounds and you can actually see a laboratory out there with some tables and chairs. There's no one around, but you do find a piece of paper upon the lab table there, and you pick that piece of paper up, and it says right there in plain text, in your DMing career doing the podcast,
what
have you ever experienced pain points or problems with a story, and they be caused by like maybe the direction that players during the episode took? You get to the end of the episode and you just don't know where to go. Have you ever experienced that? And can you elaborate on that is what it says is asks on that piece of paper.
Mm-hmm. That's okay. Wow. All right. I don't know who's transported me here. Clearly I've been taken out of my nice...
Oh, I forgot to mention the door shut.
Ah!
You try it and you can't get out.
Ah! Oh, this is what I thought was going to happen. I'm trapped in here. I guess some sick freak. Some real weirdo with some sick fetishes has trapped me down here and wants me to answer these questions. So I guess I'll have to. All right, Jigsaw. Assuming, flap, you would like pain points, wouldn't you, you freak? No, actually, it's good. It's good when there's conflict and stuff. The thing that's really terrifying is when we wrap up an episode all nice and neat.
Oh.
And then what are we going to do with the next episode? That's when it gets really scary, because nothing worse than unmoored players stumbling about, not knowing what the hell to do.
Yeah.
So you know, you got to give them some little breadcrumbs and whatnot. But so I guess, well, here, this is fun. This is interesting, maybe. So, like, I kind of wanted a pain point. I wanted to introduce a pain point in this season.
Yeah.
Right? Or this campaign of, you know, magic being illegal.
Yes, yes.
And so magic is illegal, right? And I was like, oh, this is going to be like a thing that's all the time. We're dealing with all the time. And they solved that problem immediately by just going underground. And they've been, like, living underground outside of civilization, right? So... that's not how I thought that they would solve the problem.
Wow.
And you know, maybe we are about to experience that, right? Because they have resurfaced finally.
They have, yeah.
But yeah, that was kind of like, I was like, oh, this is gonna be like a theme. And I wanted, because you know, the idea was like,
I don't think anyone who looks into it too deeply is not going to be able to figure it out. But the idea was like, oh, well, like, you know, there's a lot of repression in our current society. And mm-hmm. I wanted to sort of mimic that by having magic be illegal, the cool, fun thing to do.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so then maybe we could sort of, you know, obviously the things happening in the real world are so much more serious than our trivial little game. But
sure.
But just kind of, you know, just like, I feel like that is a, like that sort of repression is a thing that people, even if you're a white, bald, straight, cis man in his late 40s, like you can understand what repression feels like in a minor way. Obviously not, I will never compare myself to what other people deal with.
Sure, of course.
But what I'm saying is it's a theme. It's a theme that people... Like, you know, because I've seen this theme, right? I've seen this theme in so much cinema and so much.
Sure.
Books and things like that. So.
Yeah. Yeah. I got it. Yeah.
Is that good enough, Jigsaw?
You hear some laughing. That's not me off in the distance. And it's quite.
Oh, God.
Quite creepy. But I wonder, with all of this. You had mentioned one thing earlier, away from the themes. Mm. When an episode ends mm-hmm. well, and like, oh gosh, what are we going to do next? Mm. You know, what was it like finishing season one, in preparing and going into season two? Did you experience any of that? I mean,
No, not necessarily. You would think, right? But I don't know, David, if you remember, but the first campaign lasted a very long time.
Really?
Yes.
I don't remember it really being that long.
There was over 400 episodes.
Yeah.
So I think a lot of the time I felt like I was trying to put the brakes on the next campaign. If anything, like, you know, the players are all like, oh my God, I just want to do something different. So they're all like coming up with like character ideas and stuff like that. And I was like, you don't even know. Cause at that point I had already had the little sort of grain in my brain that there would be something like that in the world where either magic would be illegal or one of the outcomes from the first campaign that I thought could happen, like a thing that could go down, was they kill all of the gods.
Yeah.
Like I gave them the ability with an object to kill a god. In my head, I was like, well, what is the logical conclusion to this, right? Which way can it go?
Yeah.
One of those ways was they kill all the gods.
I could see that. I could see that.
And I feel like with this particular group, you know, like they wouldn't, that seems like a thing that they would do.
Interesting.
And if that was going to happen, then I was very much going to make clerical magic not exist.
Wow. Yeah. Oh yeah. Yeah. That would have been fed right into that. Beautiful. Yeah. But then it would have been another 3 years added on to the end as they go around killing everyone.
Yeah, exactly.
Awesome.
Yeah. So I don't know. Could have gone that way.
Very good. Very good. What's that over there? There's a cabinet, and the door to the cabinet just kind of creaked open.
What?
And you believe you caught a glimpse of possibly some keys in that cabinet?
Oh, my God. All right, well, I've been in a lot of escape rooms, so I check all the, like, underneath, and I check the sides, and I make sure there isn't something, like, a magnet somewhere.
Yeah, you don't see any of that.
Okay, but
You got that black light flashlight, though.
Yeah, I do. Do I see any? Do I reveal any secret messages?
Yeah, on the wall, you notice that this key has got a chain that's kind of wrapped into something on the wall, some mechanism. And below that mechanism, as your black light goes down, you see it says, "How much of season two's full arc have you got pre-planned out?"
All right, Jigsaw, this seems to be another one of your sick questions, you freak. So, you know, this is planning in D&D. This is I guess there's plenty of people who haven't heard this, right? You got to keep it loose. You can't
if you plan something, if you fully plan out a full adventure where I've come up with every possible thing, and your players will find a way to make every bit of work you've done useless, that you need to just light it on fire and throw it in the garbage,
mm-hmm.
in that order. So I never go more than bullet points, right? Like I will go on a day-to-day basis, on a episode basis, because that's how we do it. I will never have more than bullets. I won't plan things out. This is what this character wants. These are its motivations, and then maybe like this will happen if a certain amount of time passes. I might like keep that in mind.
Yeah.
And this is a very improvisational medium.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, I think it is that's kind of like the way to keep it loose. But like, I know who I want the big bad to be at the end.
Sure.
We with our Kickstarter, we did a thing, and I actually, one of our, well, they won't know there, Landon, we need to talk. Landon, you gotta talk to me about stuff. But our other Angel of Death has given me a nugget to work with.
Ooh. Oh.
Which is, it's pretty big. So that will be coming down the line. And that is just a huge story beat. So
that's awesome. I'm like, yeah. So tempted. I want to ask, but I'm going to be good.
I'll tell you later.
Okay. Shh.
But yeah, like I generally have an idea of what the big problem to me, the big problem is this, you know, this regime that is in place right now, which they don't really even fully know about. Right. They haven't super explored what's happening in the capital. They've been very sort of localized.
Yeah.
So they don't really have a sense for what is going on in the world.
And I imagine just as a DM, that's just, it's a fodder for you because you've got so much to work with. The fact that they've spent a lot of time underground and these other areas. I mean, gosh, it's going to be exciting to see where they end up. Cause yeah, I mean, here we are. I think we just did episode 89 as of recording this.
Mm.
So 89 just dropped this week.
Mm.
And it's amazing to think about where they've all been. And you're right. It has been very, very localized, but there's been a lot of entertaining areas and things that have occurred throughout this. So it's just exciting to see, hey, they went up to the surface now. Mm-hmm. Now they're in that wild, wacky time. So as editing, as the editor for all of this, it's exciting to be like, heck yeah, I don't have to do cave noises for the next 30 episodes.
Yeah, yeah.
But hey, there's birds now. But anyway, it's very cool to see them coming out of the shell of the underground, and it'll be fun to see where they end up. So
what, David? How is this running? I just came to
you. Oh yeah, yeah.
I think it's time to start up the what was it called? The newspaper that Deca Cog was doing. Maybe now that it was the something Bugle. The Farhold Trumpeter,
the Quibbler, wasn't it?
The Farhold Trumpeter,
the Farhold Trumpeter. You got Quibbler. That's a Harry Potter.
So maybe now that they're on the surface, maybe that'll start getting delivered.
Oh yeah, I know. I've been waiting for it because Decacog. I mean, he's got his own soundtrack.
He's not dead. He's around somewhere.
Yeah, I know he's not dead, but he's got his own soundtrack theme, and I've got it pocketed, ready for when he returns.
Yeah. What other soundtrack themes do you have? Do you want me to? Who else should I bring back?
I got themes for pretty much all your main folks who have shown up in more than one episode.
nice. Yeah, we've got some characters that need to come back now that we're on the surface. I want that French guy to come back.
Oh yeah, he was great.
He did not last. He was in one live show.
Oh, yeah, I think, that's right.
And then it was very clear that he was so annoying.
Oh my god. Well, yeah.
And he was designed to be nothing but annoying, that they immediately were like, we'll leave you behind.
But that's the ones they love and they want.
That's what I love.
Or the audience. The audience loves those folks, I think. Very cool. All right. Excellent. Hey, guess what? After that, the writing you're looking at with the black light is faded, and the key and the chain just kind of drops off in your hand. You actually have a key.
Oh.
in your hand, which is excellent.
I try to unlock the door with it.
All right, cool. You head over to the door because it doesn't look like there's anything else inside this room of value or interest. It looks boring.
It's so boring.
So you pop the key in there, and it opens right up, and you're back in the hallway.
Oh, thank God.
With the torches. There is now the door on the west side that you're facing. Mm. The hallway is really starting to smoke. And where you came from down the hallway, there's loud banging sounds. It just doesn't sound appealing. Doesn't sound good coming that direction. So you've got that down that hallway, and then you've got this door to the west. What would you like to do?
Well, I go away from the banging. It doesn't sound appealing to me.
All right. All right. Well, you go ahead and open that door.
Yeah.
And hold on 1 second. All right, cool. Yeah, the door opens without any problem.
All right.
And you can see a light far, far away down the tunnel. It looks like there might be some daylight down there.
Ah.
And it's pretty far off. But
I start running for it.
You start running for it. Okay.
And then I almost immediately stop running and do like a fast walk.
Okay. Okay, good. That's good.
And I breathe really heavily.
All right. Well, oh, you almost fall. Let's see. Hold on.
Ah.
Okay. No. Luckily, you stop yourself. And it's a very good thing that you did stop running, because right in front of you, there's an actual kind of blends in with the rest of the wall around you. It's an actual pit.
Ah.
So you do see right there at the bottom of a pit. It's about 20 feet down, but it's in clear. There's the torch down there. You do see a question. And the question actually has a thing, and it's also looks like someone scratched it out, because it was asking about how much pre-planning goes into sessions. But I think you answered that, because it's all scratched out down there. But it says in really bad handwritten, fast drawn writing, tell us about when you first began or picked up and began to play D&D, maybe as a child or a young adult. Mm-hmm. Like how old were you when you found and began to play D&D.
All right, Jigsaw, here we are again. You're trying to embarrass me, I see. Well, you're not going to. I've been playing since second edition, okay? Me and my best friend Pete, rest in peace, God bless his soul. We got all the books. It is probably because the some of them had boobs in them. But we were like 11. We were so young. We were we did not understand the game at all.
Yeah.
We would read their books and be like, I'm that guy. I played a character named Perseus, and he played a character named Gandalf.
Oh, nice.
And then what we would end up doing is we would probably like roll 3 dice, and then we would just like wrestle. That was like the whole thing. So
that is awesome.
And then we would read X-Men comics. But then I always, this was kind of like a thing where I always wanted to really play D&D, and I never really played D&D until like so much later. And we at one point tried to start a D&D club, but also at that time in like the 80s.
Yeah.
And it was, if you wanted to kiss a girl, which I did. That was my personal experience, is that I wanted to kiss a girl in the 80s.
Gross.
I know, but you could not say that you like Dungeons and Dragons.
What? You mean it's not like TV show now showing the 80s?
No.
Oh, man.
You could not say that. You would be ostracized in a way that I can't even describe. You would be, it would be persecution, quite frankly.
Wow. Yeah. Wow. Wow.
But so we didn't tell anyone, and that didn't really help us get a game going. But we were always still interested, and like third edition came out. I think we were in high school, and we were like, yes, we're still interested. Third edition kind of sucked, but maybe 3.5 was good. I don't know. College, tried again. Tried with in freshman year with it was a bunch of us, and it was like, oh wait, no, this is actually cool. It
started to get cool again. Yep.
It's cool. Yeah. You can kiss a girl and play D&D.
Wow.
Which I did both of those things. I was actually better at that point potentially at kissing girls, because the because the D&D game did not pan out.
Oh, man.
At all. But I had like a girlfriend or two. So, you know.
Wow.
Yeah, it's pretty good. After college, same fucking thing. I went to New York. I got a fancy job working for a boutique design firm in New York City.
Wow.
After I graduated from the Rhode Island School of Design. And yeah, and like there was a bunch of kind of cool people who worked there. We're all young and interesting.
Cool and hip.
Living in Manhattan.
That's right.
And someone was like, hey, what if we played D&D? And I was like, oh, I might have 1,000 books about that back at home. So tried again. And this is okay. So this whole time, I'm just running material out of books and stuff like that, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Wasn't like coming up with stuff. But I always did end up being like the person who I don't know. The college, I don't think I ran the game, but after I did.
You pretty much were running it. Okay, okay.
Yeah. So, and it was like 4 sessions, maybe. And then it was like, nah. And then it just fizzled out. And then David. My first real game that had any sort of teeth to it whatsoever was the first campaign for Drunks and Dragons.
Wow.
So.
Wow.
Yeah.
And that is how it began.
But it was like a lifetime of yearning to run a D&D game. So I got to live my dream.
Yeah.
And now it's over.
And now the dream has been destroyed. And you heard it here first on Greetings Adventures.
No, no, no. The dream thrives. The dream is strong.
Of course. It was a very, very interesting. It's always fun. And I do this from time to time. Go in and listen to like the first, like, I don't know, 20, 30 episodes. Just to hear the beginning of the storytelling and the technique with you and the players, because you can see it and or hear it, I should say, being a podcast. You see it, the growth of it all. Take the fourth edition out, because at the time that was the big thing.
That's what we had,
and it was all new and fairly new, but yeah, it is fascinating to listen to and just hear how all of you evolve. You know, both in your storytelling, improvisation. And just, you know, the bond that has grown with everyone on the team.
Yeah.
So that has been great. That has been great to witness. And then later to be as the editor, it's been fun to join and be part of. So
yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah, for sure. Hey, guess what? That pit down below, the ground, it raised.
Yeah.
And Michael.
What's up?
You see a clear shot, and the sunlight is out there, and you can make your way towards the exit now.
Well, it's sunlight, so it can't be Rochester. So I'm not sure where I'm coming back to.
Yeah, that's right.
But I run towards the light again.
All right, and everyone, listeners, Michael DeMauro exits the cave into the sunlight, and he sees his home with a nice bedroom for sleeping in ahead.
Oh, I love that.
I think that's going to be it for our short little Q&A bonus post recap episode. This was fun. If maybe we'll do this.
David, that was so fun. You were doubting the RP elements?
Yeah.
Foolishness. That was exceptionally fun. Thank you.
Yeah. I learned from the best, Michael. I learned from
Matthew Mercer?
I enjoyed it. I'm glad that we had this time together. And
I did too. Thank you, David. These are thoughtful questions and I appreciated it.
Awesome. You have a great day, and everyone, we'll see you next week.
Hey, baby, keep it dicey.
dun, 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 music, music, music. That was easy. Done.
Yeah, that was super fun.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
This message comes from BOF sponsor eBay. You'll know real when you get it. It'll say eBay Authenticity Guarantee. And you'll feel it. Maybe it's a head-turning handbag, a watch that says it all, jewelry that makes you look like the gem, or sneakers and streetwear so fresh every step feels fly. eBay gets it. So look for the blue checkmark next to that thing you love and be confident that every inch, stitch, sole, and logo is checked by experts. With eBay Authenticity Guarantee, you can trust that feeling of real is always in reach. Ensure your next purchase is the real deal. Visit ebay.com for terms.